Hey everyone, I'm Katie, your host. Welcome to Anatomy of an Agency. This podcast shares the real life experiences of people in the public eye who work in the business of sport and entertainment. Whether you're looking to work with talent or for your own representation, we hope to give you honest insight into how things work. The good, the bad, and everything else in between. On this episode, we are speaking to Paralympic superstars Robin Love and Laurie Williams, who between them have 7 Paralympic Games and 1 one-year-old daughter who tours the world with them. But this time last year, they didn't even know what an agent was. Here's what they have to say about their journey since then.
No, we didn't know what an agent was. We just knew that we were getting so many people interested in hearing our story, from, you know, corporates to, you know, people just inviting us along to events, and it was pretty overwhelming, to be honest. And for us, like, we just wanted to be more organised with it, but we didn't have the time or the knowledge to organise ourselves. And especially when it comes to, like, fees, I feel like for all athletes, it's pretty cringe. Like, I find it really awkward, like, being like, oh, do you have a budget for that? And it's just like, oh, I feel so icky. So, you know, for us, having an agent, it's just really taken that weight off and that stress. So yeah, I'm glad I found out what an agent was.
Yeah, and one of our teammates, she was already represented and had an agent. Mm. And, you know, she was kind of like, there's no reason why you guys couldn't go down the same path. And I think, because we're both quite modest and quite humble, so it's really hard to kind of like, for us to like blow our own trumpet and be like, actually, we are good at this and we are good at that. And I think we found that difficult. So she said to us, well, that's what an agent's for. Like, they help promote you in a way that you're comfortable with, you know, that maybe you wouldn't be capable of doing. So that's really helpful, because I kind of thought like, oh, I don't know if I'm the right person for these kind of things. But actually, yeah, we are. Like, hell yeah, we are. Like, we should be able to go out there and say that. But having someone do that for you makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
Once your teammate had said that, and once you'd spoken to each other and you thought, oh, this could be a good idea, what were the first steps you took? And what would you have done if someone had said, oh, well, Robin fits really well with my roster, but I don't know if actually Laurie's the right fit, or vice versa?
Yeah, gosh, I think the first step was having that conversation, I think. I think I spoke to you and I was just like, hey, like, we're interested. We don't know what it's like
dating,
what it looks like.
It?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, how are you? So for us, you know, I think we just had that conversation, and yeah, I guess, you know, ultimately, if you wanted Laurie and not me, you know, obviously I'd totally accept that and be like, yes, bring in the money, babe. Come on. Yes. I'll watch Alba. That's fine. But for us, you know, I think we're 2 different personalities, so we would have accepted that fully. But equally, we're just so grateful that, you know, we do get some invites as individuals because of who we are separately. But, you know, today especially, we're excited to do something together, because we really think we've got a platform to do that. And we're glad that GVO saw something within us to be able to put us forward for that.
Yeah, like you said, like, we both have different strengths, and obviously we're both supportive of each other. So I think if Robin was the one who, like, you picked up, then I'd be like, okay, cool, like, you've got so much to offer. But I think what worked well for us is, like, we found someone who had similar values to ours, and we could work together, like, to represent one another, kind of thing. Mm. Whereas I think in the past, like, what's kind of prevented us as being like, oh, I can't see myself doing that kind of stuff, I can't see myself with that company, because it just isn't me. So finding one that's kind of like, feels true to you, I think is really important.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
That's what we've found.
Oh, you've got a lot more than something to offer, that's for sure. But so, as women,
yeah,
as mums, living with disabilities, and members of the LGBT community, how much did you have a conversation about, well, how do we navigate who is true to our values, who might be saying they're true to our values, and who would actually be able to represent us?
Well, I think with GVO, we saw who you represented already, and I think we could see ourselves in those people, and they spoke so highly that the connection was there for us. Like, I feel like with other agencies, we haven't felt that connection. And as well as that, I think, you know, a lot of agencies just push the athlete, whereas, like you said, we've got so many boxes that you want to tick, or, you know, we're so diverse that for us, it was important to find someone, like an organisation that saw our whole selves. And I really feel like GVO see all of us and are able to kind of share our values with the companies that are engaging with GVO. Does that make sense?
I think it's like given the opportunity for you as like us as individuals to like explore our passions that isn't just like what you see is what you get kind of thing. Like, oh great, you're in a wheelchair, let's go and like give you to all these companies who like, you know, want to tick a box. It goes deeper than that, which I think is really nice.
Yeah.
And as moms, it's undoubtedly part of your story, a massive part of your story, not just that you're moms, but you're competing in the same team at the same time and have a baby that also needs to be looked after, who basically has become like some kind of tour groupie, right? She travels around. To be fair, soon she'll be needing representation of her own. But it can be quite easy if you don't know how to navigate the industry, I think, for people to say, oh, can you bring Alba, your little girl, to a shoot? And for you to say, yeah, sure. But I think you've probably learned quite a lot along the way about how she should be getting treated as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was you that brought it up, like, oh, the vast Alba to be involved, you realise she should have some pennies. And it's like, oh, well, no, I didn't realise that. You know, as like I said, we're just so used to doing things for free. And like, because we want to give back to our basketball community and share our love for the sport and our passion for the sport and our knowledge of the sport. But within that, like, what we need to realise is our love and passion and experience is worth something. It's worth money, it's worth, and so is she. Like, she's not some gimmick to be used. She's a person that should be valued, and sometimes that value is money. And that's something that she can also look back on when she's younger and say, I was in that, and hey, now I've got this money that I can go to uni with or whatever that she's got that's hers because she earned it. So yeah, definitely glad that representation has taught us that lesson for sure.
She's already getting a pretty good portfolio.
Well, Mum was a kids' TV presenter, right? So that is one of my questions for you, Laurie, is like, you at a very young age were on the BBC, getting used to TV, the world of entertainment. You would have thought that you would be the first person to go, right, this is how it works, I need an agent, I've spoken to the other people. What happened in order for you to kind of step away from that path and back into it and not have representation sooner?
Yeah, well, so, gosh, I can't even remember what year it was, but I was still in high school and I was in a TV show on CBBC, and it was like such a good time. It was one of the best times I've ever had in my life, like so much fun, you know, when you're 12 and you like spend the summer like filming down in London, and it was just like incredible. But I think like for me at that time as a child with a disability as well, it's like, realistically, is that gonna go anywhere? And it's like, I just started to play basketball and I was still like going through school and trying to get my exams done, and it was just like, I don't think me and my family saw that as an option, which is a shame because I think I would have loved to have pursued it seriously. But it was one of those like, it's this or that kind of situation. It's basketball or it's, you know, going into like media and more of that kind of stuff. And at that time you had to make a choice, whereas now I think we can be more than one thing. Like, if you want to try loads of different things, go for it. Like, so many people now are like, I'm gonna give that a go because, you know, you never know, it might be my calling. So I think if I could do it again, I would have like pushed harder maybe for representation at that time. But now I think, yeah, it's definitely an option for more people. And I think if Alba wants to do that, I'll be like getting a name in the books.
Both living with disabilities, have you had any experiences where you do feel like your disability has been used, or there's been maybe a desire to use it tokenistically?
I guess, like, you know, with the explosion of the Paralympic movement, the whole like inspiration porn, like, I do think that it is used, but I don't always think that's a bad thing. Like, growing up, I didn't see anyone like me where I was from around the town, never mind on TV. So sometimes I think tokenism is needed in order to have that representation. Like Laurie said, you know, she didn't think it was an option because how many TV shows want people in wheelchairs who are actually use a wheelchair day to day rather than just shoving an able-bodied person in a chair? The answer now is vastly different because of the Paralympic movement, I think, because of London 2012 and the power that's given and the kind of value that people with disabilities see within themselves now. that it's they've pushed the media to put more people on TV. And so sometimes you need that tokenism, you need that inspiration porn in order to drive change. So for me personally, mine isn't as exciting. I'm not an amputee, it's not as sexy, you know. So for me, I don't think I've been using tokenistically, but maybe you have.
I don't know really. I think it's like Robin said, it's hard to, you want to kind of embrace every opportunity that comes your way, and sometimes it's like, oh well, you're just getting that because you're in a wheelchair, or you know, you realise they have to do that because it's the law, and sometimes you just got to be like, oh well,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty shit being in a wheelchair, so I'm going to take all I can get. Like, it's almost just like your attitude. So
yeah,
sometimes that is the case, and I think it's a bit like, oh, you know, they've obviously just done that to tick a box. But at the same time, it's like, well, they have tried to do that, so it is representation. You know, how they've gone about it, I don't know, but I think it's important. It's an important stepping stone.
Yeah.
And Robin, you mentioned your disability. You could, for want of a better term, pass
in
many environments as not having a disability. Mm. Have you ever, because we are living in a different day and age now to when Laurie was talking about being a kid, have you ever been tempted to pass for not disabled? Or also, on the flip side, had someone go, well, you're not really disabled enough.
Yeah.
That's not a visible disability.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, that's my life, I think, is growing up, I very much didn't accept that I was disabled. I was like, well, I don't understand. I can play sport. If anything, I'm better than you at badminton, at football. So how am I disabled? Just because I walk a lot different, because I don't have very good quads. I can't hop on my right leg. So growing up, I was very much like, no, I'm not. But I think that's because I didn't really understand disability, and it was very much, you're severe and that's it. So for me, I didn't really grasp that. Whereas like now, I'm like, yeah, I'm disabled, it's good. It's made me who I am, it's shaped me. But yeah, like you say, there's definitely people that are like, I park in a disabled space and they're like, what's she doing? Or online, for example, I play wheelchair basketball, right? It's called wheelchair basketball. So I put something on TikTok where I'm like standing or whatever. How can she be playing wheelchair basketball? She can walk, that's a disgrace. And it's like, I could either be like crying about it, or I could just put in a comment that says, actually, wheelchair basketball, you have to have a lower limb impairment, which means this, which I've done before, and they've said, oh, I didn't know that, sorry. Or, oh, that's amazing, so I can play. It's like, absolutely. So, you know, I can either take it badly, or I can use it an opportunity to educate. But even with the team now, like with GB, it's like, oh, and what do? Are you the physio? Nope, I play too. So yeah, that's my life.
I wanted to ask you about TikTok, because you're a bit of a Paralympic pioneer on TikTok.
Well, I try my best. I like a video, I have to say. I do like a video.
How has your presence on TikTok impacted your profile, your connection with new audiences, your opportunities?
Oh, new audience. Like, I think TikTok is just such an amazing community. Again, there's positives and negatives with all social media, but for me, TikTok is such a positive place, because I feel like you can really showcase yourself and your personality. Like, you can't pretend in a video. Like, I can't anyway. So for me, it's just helped me engage with people from all over the world. And being from a small town where TikTok didn't exist, you couldn't speak to any kind of different people. It's just an incredible opportunity. And like I said, I've been influencing people all around the world and educating them about wheelchair basketball and about us and our life and being LGBT parents, being disabled parents. And, you know, I say I get a lot of trolls. I've got no trolls for being a disabled mother. They love that. The fact that I can walk, hate it. I hate it. But yeah, I love TikTok, and I find it really exciting every time I post a video to see, you know, who's engaged with it and who's got involved.
On not walking, Laurie, are there any opportunities where you literally feel like you've missed out an opportunity because you physically cannot get into a building?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All the time?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, it's a difficult one, because it's like, that is reality. Like, some places are just not accessible. Some places work to become more accessible, and others are just like, it can't happen because of the infrastructure, whatever. So I think, for me, it's a tricky one, because you're sometimes like, oh, come on, you know, get out your chair and drag yourself up. But I'm a bit like,
I don't say drag yourself up. Correction.
Clamber up the stairs.
She can use crutches, actually. So I would say use your crutches, not drag yourself up.
But my response is usually like, on principle, like, I shouldn't have to do that. Like, it's not fair, you know. I just want to be able to get in somewhere. And on the flip side, it's like, well, we often are like, well, we know a bunch of places that are accessible, so we're just going to, you know, remove the difficult ones from the equation and go to the ones that we do know. Yeah. So it is difficult, you know, some days where you're just having a really shit day, and then to make it worse, you can't get into, like, the cafe you wanted to go to. It's literally like...
yeah.
But you've just got... It's just part of life, and you just have to deal with it, and there's a lot more... great places that are accessible that you've got to be like, actually, for those places anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And mentally, you just shut off from them. So I'm like, oh, it's not worth going in anyway. Like, they're not worth my energy. They're not worth my negative energy, so we're just going to move on. We did go on holiday to Denmark. Was it Denmark?
Yeah, Copenhagen.
Copenhagen, and we couldn't get in, like, 90% of places couldn't get in. So that was a bit sad, because obviously it was a lot of money to go there.
Yeah.
So, lesson learned.
You just have to beat them at basketball sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? There's wins everywhere.
Yeah. Here's wishing the best of luck to Robin, Laurie and their teammates in Paris this year. I hope you will all be tuning in. In the meantime, please check us out on socials, get in touch, let us know what you think of these podcasts at Good Vibes Only Talent, and don't miss the next episode. It's bye from me.